Welcome to the High Performance Half Hour with me, David Osgathorpe. Each week, we meet with athletes, coaches, business owners, and entertainers to discuss the high-performing habits that have led to their individual success. Okay, on today's show, I'm joined by World Championship and Olympic gold medalist sailor and member of the Order of the British Empire, Miss Saskia Clark. Welcome.
Hello.
How are you? Welcome to the show. Nice to have you on.
Thank you. Thank you very much for inviting me. It's good to chat to you.
No, pleasure. Look, I know you've got a lot going on at the moment and you're kind of between travel at the moment. So what's the plan? Where are you off to at the end of the week?
So I'm just about to finish my quarantining from being back from my past trip, and I'm heading straight off again back to Santander to do some training. Well, some coaching, okay, actually. I've swapped.
So, yeah, I mean, are you in the boat yourself much at the moment?
No, I'm...
Other than full sailing.
I'm in the rib, so that's a new challenge for me because I'm slightly out of control in the rib. And I'm coaching a youngish team, so like a 27 and 28-year-old pair of women who are training partners for the Rio Olympics for their German counterparts, their German, and are going for selection this time.
Amazing. So how long have you been in this role?
Literally, it's very new. So I just started chatting to them like midway through lockdown, actually, just as a bit of a favour to try and help them sort of refocus and reset, really, after the postponement of the games. And I just want to, you know, be a bit of a mentor, I guess, to them. And actually, after a few discussions, we sort of thought it was they thought it was a really good opportunity, and I was really up for the opportunity of trying to give actually full time coaching them a go.
Yeah, so I mean, what did you do? Have you done a little bit of coaching since over the last 4 years?
No, I've done very little coaching ever. I've sort of done like one day or 2 day like guest coaching things, really, where I guess you can't really fail. Well, it's a lot easier just turning out for a day, being kind of the masterclass gold medalist type person. Throwing a few gems of wisdom around the room and leaving.
But perfect.
sort of mic drop out of there. But this is the first, sort of role actually where it's obviously a lot more meaningful in terms of the end goal, what the girls are trying to achieve, and a lot more involved, fully involved with trying to work out the best program for them, the best, just day to day, the best routine. We've got 10 months left to the games, but actually they've got their trials start in February. So we've got, sort of a two stages to it, really.
Yeah. And is there any other championships booked in before? So, is there a world?
Yes, so everything has now been cancelled for this year. So, for everyone in sports, it's been a tough year, especially for, all those Olympic athletes that were hoping to go to Tokyo this summer. Obviously it's all to be confirmed and everything, but hopefully they'll go to a Worlds in March, and that'll be the start of the new season. And the Olympic season.
Wow. So your sort of Olympic journey, was it 2008, the first games that you competed at?
Yeah, that was my first games, but I actually campaigned unsuccessfully for the Athens cycle.
Yeah. Okay. So talk me through, when did you first kind of take your first steps in a boat then? How old were you?
I was quite young. I grew up on an island, and sailing is actually how my parents met. It's how my grandparents met. It's kind of very much
in the family. It's in the genes.
Yeah. And then I grew up on an island on the east coast in Essex, and it's like sailing there is actually, I guess, it doesn't feel there as a sailor growing up there. That's the stereotype of what it might be on the south coast for people. It's just very much what all the kids do: mucking around in boats, mucking around in the mud, having mud fights, having seaweed fights, it was just how we spent our childhood. Yeah. And it was my sister, who's 2 years older than me. She got quite competitive. She was good and quite competitive at a younger age at it. And I wasn't that interested until I actually beat her in a race. And suddenly that was kind of what ignited my sort of interest a lot more in it.
Yeah. So, I mean, how old would you have been around? Would you have sort of teenager around that
no,
time?
So that was like 8 or 9-ish or something like that. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Well, very young. Okay. Yeah. Okay. And then it just sort of built from there. And then so when did you get involved in the sort of Olympic program then?
I was quite a generally sporty kid, like athletics at school and stuff. And I vividly remember the Barcelona Olympics in 92 and Sally Gunnell and, you know, like all our track stars there, Linford Christie, Colin Jackson and stuff. And they were kind of, I guess, who I aspired to be at that point in time. And then obviously, you know, you're just how things work out in terms of your size and what you'll end up interested in and where your parents take you and stuff. Sailing was what sort of took over as our sport, with me and my sister. And so good results, like under 16, good results, and under 18, good results, got me on the sort of first squad, I guess, of Olympic development stuff. And that was kind of similar time as I was going off to university.
Which is where we met, actually, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yes, that seems many, many moons ago now, but there we are. But you kind of, you were sort of fortunate to, you know, obviously on the South Coast and then sailing kind of combined with that. And I think you sort of delayed your studies slightly, didn't you, to kind of, you know, push on with the sailing?
Yeah, I mean, actually, the reason I ended up at Chichester was purely because of sailing, because it was where, as a federation, we went and did our fitness tests and stuff. So all our sports science was based there. And it was the only university I'd been to, and it was UCAS Handen Day, and I thought, I need to write something down.
Pure laziness. Brilliant.
Yeah.
Pure laziness took you down there. Okay, great.
So I did 2 years, and then I took a year out to try and really – I wasn't actually sailing properly probably for those first 2 years, but got asked for it really like kind of – a bit of a shot in the dark for Sydney 2000. We were just two young 20-year-olds who thought, oh, why don't we just try this? That wasn't, you know, it's a very different time in terms of where we were as athletes, but also where sport was at that point in time, you know, quite unprofessional and stuff. So unsurprisingly, that wasn't successful. And then I guess I'd sort of say I was a professional from 2001 in terms of as a full-time athlete.
Yeah. So then you kind of, you know, graduated and then kind of took it on as a full pursuit, and obviously just missing out in 2004. But then I guess you probably had a few nice role models to look at and from that Olympics.
Yeah.
I
wasn't successful. I actually pulled the plug on our campaign for Athens because I knew we'd just got into a load of bad habits as a team that I just didn't think that we could reset and like mount a proper, you know, battle for the trials really. And I went and worked for 2 years, and actually it was the best thing I ever did. It just sort of taught me some discipline, some routine, and watching those sort of friends, ex-teammates, ex-competitors of mine racing in Athens was really, really the kick I needed to go back to sport with a totally different attitude, that it wasn't a hobby that I was good at anymore. This was something I wanted to do, you know, and actually, you know, campaign properly rather than it just being that quite childish thing of, oh, I'm good at this, I'll just carry on doing it for a while until I'm not good enough.
I didn't realize that. That's actually really kind of powerful. I think a lot of the time people don't realize how good life is as a professional athlete. It's quite easy at times. I know that the training is tough you know, but there's a lot of people that drop out purely because the work ethic is missing, I think. So for you to kind of actually get out in the real world and see what it's like outside of there, and then kind of, like you said, step back in and take it a little bit more seriously, I can really see how that would benefit.
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of a no-brainer for me, like stepping back in. When you work, it's the first time you've ever had money in your life. There's lots of bonuses to doing, you know, working in 9 to 5 and suddenly being there for everyone's 21st, but, you know, all the parties that you're suddenly home for, which you never are as an athlete. But, you know, just watching Athens 2004 from a computer, as it was then, it was a no-brainer to sort of get back in it, and I guess just finish finish the job, I guess, either way, you know, either find out you're not good enough or, you know, end up taking it somewhere.
It's obviously it went pretty well after that. So, you know, but it's good that, you know, you kind of obviously pulled the plug beforehand. And then so going into Beijing, how did you feel, you know, in preparation for that? Did you feel you were ready to step up? Or were you still kind of learning the ropes?
Even though I wasn't sort of that young age wise then, I was 27 or something, I think, in Beijing. But I did feel quite a young athlete in the team, more inexperienced, I think, in the team. You know, I was in a team with multiple gold medalists already and stuff. And, you know, it's obviously a few people that have ended up being absolute heroes of our sport. I think me and my team really struggled. You know, the big lesson for me from Beijing was just around the emotional control and the sort of, I guess, what emotion means and how it affects decisions, how it affects performance. You know, when is emotion good? When is emotion really negative and has a really negative impact on performance? And as a team, we never really resolved that, really, going into the games. And so, unfortunately, I sort of feel that's the story of that Olympics for me, that we had this big distraction of our sort of relationship and communication in our team that was very dictated by emotion, really. And if we were having a good day or a bad day, if we felt the conditions were going to suit us that day or not, we didn't really approach it with that sort of coldness of evaluating facts, which is, I guess, is what I then spent the next 12 years learning and refining.
Yeah, look, I mean, I think, you know, you obviously have to work very closely when there's just two of you in a boat there. And I think if you're worried about how you approach things and what you say and when you say and how to deal with it, and I think it needs two very strong characters to kind of be pulling together and not, you know, let emotion get in the way. But that's just real trust and communication with that partner, though, isn't it?
Yeah, it's huge. And I think also, I guess, you learn a lot about yourself and your teammate as individuals, and barriers and boundaries that you both either need or have or should have. And we never managed to have the sort of cold, rational discussion about what that and you know, definitely what Beijing did, I think, really do was set indicate to me some like non-negotiables for my teams going forward.
Yeah.
I didn't manage to solve it at the time for that Olympics with that team, but it really did fundamentally teach me some lessons about myself and about team and about communication and stuff that really became foundation stones going forward.
Did you, I mean, you obviously then beyond that, you were the kind of more senior member of the team. And did you feel that responsibility and feel like, you know, about setting those non-negotiables and creating that culture for the team? Or was that just a joint thing?
Post Beijing, I actually had Olympiad, I actually sailed with four different people.
Wow.
So actually that sailing with those three other people was really good for me, because in sailing, and I guess in probably other things, you know, you sort of set your intention with the team and you have to go and say and raise money and, you know, say, this is my teammate and we're going to win a medal together and stuff. And you kind of, it then makes maybe learning from it, or so basically I sort of feel I just didn't sail with enough people in the early part of my career to really understand different communication styles or different decision-making styles and all, you know, things that I would have done if I'd sailed with other people. And sailing with these three other people before me and Han teamed up was really valuable for me in understanding my own strengths and weaknesses, both, you know, as a person, but as a teammate and as a sailor, just from a technical side as a sailor. And it was really valuable. And two of those people I sailed with had been gold medalists from Beijing in a different discipline to me. So they were kind of new to my discipline, but, you know, very experienced and very good sailors. So they were, those were huge, you know, huge learning points for me. So by the time that me and Han teamed up, yeah, I did. Obviously, there was the obvious age gap between us. There was 9 years between us. Experience gap in terms of that I had been to Olympics, I had won medals at World Championships, that kind of stuff. And Han was supremely talented, but, you know, a junior sailor. So definitely in that London campaign, those, I guess, sort of the campaign things were my responsibility for definitely the first sort of part of it. And, you know, as obviously Han's grown up and we've grown together, that for Rio was a totally, you know, 50-50 thing. And, you know, now watching her grow up even further and stepping into the shoes of the more senior, you know, the older senior teammate is really interesting.
Ah, oh, handing the baton over there. Right? Yeah. It's quite just, do you keep contact there still?
Yeah. We live down the road from each other. Yeah.
Very sweet. So, I mean, look, you mentioned like London, obviously there, or Weymouth potentially, you know, but I guess that whole campaign, that must have been amazing to kind of be involved in that home Olympics.
Yeah. I mean, it was, so how Han and I teamed up super last minute, purely, I mean, she was in a team and the girl I was sailing with just was retiring because she had a young family and couldn't make it work alongside a young family. And so for me, it was kind of like, oh, you know, I had this horrendous day of I'm going to miss out on this. You know, we'd done all the prep. We'd started doing the prep. It was, and you know, the prep was about to go into its final year. And I was like, I'm not going to be there. I'm not going to make it. I haven't got a team. And so I sort of started the conversation with Han, and Han was keen, and so we had 3 months to trial. So we basically had to. It was one of the beauties of that campaign, really, the lack of time and the urgency of it all, just the adrenaline that creates, the kind of work ethic and the just the motivation that creates to get stuff done, was amazing, and was a big factor to why we won the trials pretty convincingly, quite quickly, which was awesome. And then it was just amazing. It was so good. Like, it's impossible to talk about London without gushing and without a smile on your face and just remembering how awesome it was. And, you know, like this summer they've done reruns of it all and the opening ceremony and everything, and everyone was just in such a good mood. So good.
It just really lifted everyone, didn't it? It was, I mean, I was fortunate to come down to Portland there a few times, and it was a great little setup that you guys had there. And I think it was just a special, really special time, wasn't it?
I think there's a number of reasons, particularly in the sailing team, it was really special, because I think it was going to be the last games for a number of our legends, you know, so Ben, Person Bart, sort of multiple medalists, long time. They, you know, they were the first wave of people that got lottery funding for sailing. You know, Ben went to the 96 Olympics, and sort of for it to be in London, so there was a big sort of these sort of statesmen of our sport, and then like a younger group of athletes coming through and stuff. And so it was a really nice team. It was a great team, and there was a bit like that on the support staff side as well. I think, you know, a number of staff had been with the team for a long time and were probably going to move on up post this games because they'd sort of done their time, and it was just a great atmosphere.
Yeah, and obviously you ended up on the podium.
Yeah,
which was, you know, how did you feel about that?
To be honest, finishing the race. To be honest, it wasn't actually finishing the race. Like 10 minutes into the race, it was done. Well, no, 2 minutes into the race, it was done. The race was quite emotional. We mucked it up. It was kind of all our fault that we didn't win. So finishing.
Well, so for those that are listening, you basically have 11 races during the Olympic week, and the medal race being the last race, and you were going in ahead, weren't you, into that medal race? Is that right?
We went in, us and the New Zealand girls went in. Yeah. we couldn't lose the gold and silver between the two of us. It was a head on head. We were equal points with them. So it was a straight who beats who. And we actually did the initial part of it. We had control. We did really well. And it was kind of ours at that point. It was ours to sort of control. And anyway, needless to say, we didn't. So we.
But I guess it's one of those, you know. But then it's kind of, you know. So I guess if you look at that, you kind of take the bigger picture of it. You know, 3 months preparation and straight in and coming away with the silver. I guess how do you look at that? Do you look at that as a missed gold or a silver that was gained?
It's definitely changed, and definitely I've had quite recently, actually, I had a sleepless night, like literally replaying it in my head as well again, super weirdly, for not really any reason.
Really?
Yeah. I was like, oh, okay. Why didn't we do that? I should have done that.
This is like 8 years later.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow.
And I think now, you know, I guess I've distilled it down a bit into actually what we didn't do very well in our preparation for it, which was a controllable to a certain extent, but also we were very low on time, and we achieved a lot given that our time, and you know, still coming away with a silver is awesome. It just would have been so cool winning a gold at home Olympics. That's the frustration.
Did that act as a real kind of motivator for Rio? Do you think?
Yes, definitely. I mean, so so post that race, you know, me and Han sort of got over ourselves quite quickly, and all our friends and family were down. You know, it was a huge festival atmosphere, and you still get stand on the Olympic podium, you still get your flag hoisted, you get a medal, and it was, you know, you just get swept up in the whole thing, and you have a wicked time. But on the toe in from that race, we just briefly discussed that, you know, this wasn't quite what we want. You know, we were going to carry on together. We were going to go for a gold medal together. So we had that.
So literally immediately post-race, you kind of had that conversation.
Yeah, but I mean, I do know better than that. How I still do know that you can't commit to anything for about 4-6 a year, months post an Olympics, because you're just exhausted. And I guess the thing about Han and I is that we we'd only been a team for 18 months, so didn't think we'd achieved our potential. We were making, we had in that 18 months, we didn't really have much time to think about equipment, which is quite important in sailing. You know, you can optimize equipment for your size and your weight and the venue. So we were in London on pretty standard off the shelf equipment, and we'd basically just got in a boat together, sort of set the ground rules for our team, and then cracked on for London. And so we had so much we could do in terms of making it more efficient, you know, all that kind of stuff. So we decided, we were up for it.
Now, well, I think when you come so close and you know that there's so many more improvements that you can make, it's kind of a no-brainer then, isn't it, to kind of really push on with things. But was that next sort of 4-year campaign, was that like really full on for you? Is that where you kind of feel that it came at the right time for you with all the lessons that you'd learned, and now it was your time? Did you have that sort of sense of things?
Yeah, we did, but I'd say it was, when I sort of describe the personalities of the 3 Olympics I've done and the campaigns, I feel that Rio was really quiet. It was really considered, like we analysed a lot, and I sort of feel like we did a lot in a meeting room, if you know what I mean. And so basically every hour we put on the water was really productive, and I think there's a bit of that, I guess, a bit of that's probably maturity as athletes, our coach. Definitely, probably, I guess, a bit of confidence in that we were the returning medalists. So in terms of selection trials, we felt, you know, we clearly still had to win a selection trials, but I guess we felt that that would probably be that would be part of the course, and we could just fully focus on the Olympics. Whereas definitely in my past Olympics, you know, you're really distracted by the selection trials, and it's not really until you've done them that you can really focus on the Olympics. Whereas Rio was all about winning a gold medal.
So when it was so focused, was it still enjoyable? Did you still love it? Did you kind of love going to work still, or did you feel that there was like a there's work to be done kind of thing?
I think, like, personally, I had a few battles of this fitness and health battles. Like, I had hernia surgery in 2014. I had some more surgery actually in March 2016, which was a bit alarming.
Wow.
So I was probably a bit too old. My body was falling apart. So that was kind of always a, I guess for me in the background, just cracking on with maintaining my knees, maintaining my back, and then still doing the load of physiology on top.
Did that sort of make you think that, okay, this is definitely the last one then, and to kind of make it really count?
Yeah, I think I knew it was the last one. It's obviously hard, because as soon as we won, I any sort of motivation for doing another one evaporated instantly, because I don't know how mentally I would gear myself up, because I've done it now. You know, the pursuit of what it was always about, a gold medal. It wasn't, you know, I didn't sort of start this off as a 12-year-old thinking I want 5 gold medals or whatever. I just want, you know, you just think about 1 gold medal. And so, but I physically, I couldn't. There's been a few moments in the last 4 years I've been like, oh, should I go back? And I know that physically I can't, and I know that mentally I can't get myself anywhere near wanting to sort of make sacrifices again. Yeah.
But then does that kind of feel like, you know, it was like the perfect ending, and it's the best way to kind of finish in that respect then?
Yeah. I mean, it was awesome. It was an amazing week we had. You know, like, you talk, a lot gets talked about in sport about momentum. And I can sort of just, I remember every race from Rio, which I don't, that's kind of not how I remember events and stuff, but I remember every race in Rio, and just like, oh, cool, we're in third now, we're in first now, we're in first now, we're 8 points clear now, we're 12 points clear now, you know, we just and, you know, alongside that, our main competitors were the New Zealand girls again, it was pretty much always building up to be a bit of a showdown between us both again, maybe potentially with 2 other teams involved in it, and they were sort of riding that wave the other way, really. I guess they were sort of having challenges the whole week, and
weren't they disqualified first race or something?
Yeah, which is really unlike them, so, actually, as a team. It was kind of obviously you go to a protest, and it's like a mini little court hearing, so they thought they were right, the other people thought they were right, but I guess the point was, first race of an Olympics where they're one of the favorites, it seemed an unnecessary risk to take it to the courtroom. You could resolve it in other ways and keep your place. So it was awesome. And then
so could you almost feel that momentum swinging towards you immediately, and then did that kind of, you know, impact on you, do you think?
We had a battle of the first day. We made a hash. We nearly made a hash of our first day, but we rescued both races, which was kind of like through luck or judgment, whichever one, it was a big relief our first day. And then after that, we were solid. Yeah. We had a capsize in a race, but we still got sixth. You know, we didn't, it wasn't mistake free by any means, but it was never any drama.